When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Drama,
fashion,
podcast, and who are we?
That's one secret we'll never tell.
XOXO,
Girls Room.
Hey up, Reesiders, Girls Room here, the one and only podcast about the scandalous lives of Manhattan's elite, aka Gossip Girl. I'm Julia Gray. I have my frenemy and co-host with me, Drew Haskins.
Hey, hey, hey.
I'm still working out the kinks of that intro.
Me too. I didn't mean to quote Fat Albert just now.
Hey, hey, hey.
That was your Gossip Girl persona.
Yeah. Oh, that would be... Okay, we need... The Gossip Girl reboot really should be just different characters from pop culture history playing Gossip Girl. Fat Albert.
I would love that. But are either of us impressionists?
What'd you say? Oh, wait, we have to introduce you before we go any further.
Yeah, you shush. Julia, proceed, please.
Okay, we have a very special guest, one of my good friends. He is a culture and fashion writer, also the man behind the famous Jeremy Allen White interviews. Please welcome Devin Barrett.
Thank you. Hi.
Devin, what is your relationship with Gossip Girl? Getting right in.
Watched it since day one, live on the CW.
Love that.
I mean, I feel like we're all the same age here. We were the exact right target audience for that program.
Yeah. I think it's more iconic to us. When we started in middle school, I think it actually hit a little bit more than had we started it in high school or later.
Right.
Because this was so eye-opening culturally to me that, like, that really cemented a lot of the iconography.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I feel like it was maybe eighth grade-ish.
I think seventh grade, right?
Yeah.
Well, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And I still am.
Yeah. What aspect of it really hooked you?
The girls, the outfits, the looks, the fashion, the music, the New York of it all, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Spoken like a true New Yorker. I mean, yeah. I feel like if we were even a little older, we could have easily wrote it off and like thought we were too cool for it, right? Like,
I feel like it was too big to write off at the time.
That's also
like even, yeah, I feel like it was just such a popular smash hit.
Yeah.
And also this was pre-streaming, obviously, so there was less to watch and less like kind of hitting a certain target. Lightning in a bottle shout, you know.
Yeah.
It was true appointment television. Like, do you remember when I mean, the show's been out for like what? Almost 20 years. This is not popular. But when I don't know which season, maybe season two, the ending of that one episode where Serena reveals she quote unquote killed somebody.
That's this season.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The week in between that line and the next episode felt like 7 calendar years because I was so on the edge of my seat. And that's what we've lost to binge culture.
Mm. Fair. I also, this is coming back to me, but before I think this series came out, I also feel like it had such an audience, obviously, because of the books. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I didn't read the books, but I remember being at the library and things and wishing I could read the books. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was a girl book, shall we say, and not a gay middle schooler, you know.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, and those covers, the book covers were so like you can't just read, even as a girl, it's like a little weird, you know, like as a little girl reading this cover with like
lip gloss on a cover.
Yeah, and women's legs like strewn on a couch
with heels.
Exactly.
And they were like in eighth grade, or I guess they're high school, right?
I was so obsessed with the books and obsessed with Nate's character that I like Googled lore. I Googled like, does Nate Archer smoke weed? Because
like,
they never explicitly said it in the book, and I was just like curious.
Wow.
Isn't that strange and almost
I think that's pretty cool.
Thanks. Thanks.
What about the character in the book really drew you in? Like, why were you obsessed?
That's a good question. I think maybe probably mostly the physical descriptions. Like,
sure.
He was your classic hunk, swoopy hair.
Lacrosse team captain.
Lacrosse team captain, which, you know, not my usual type, but I don't know, Nate Archibald. And then,
absolutely.
When the show started, this is a nice segue into our next question, but I was all about Chuck. I thought Chuck was the hottest. I know that gets me a lot of hate. But,
every guest we've had so far has been like, haha, about this.
You know,
it's crazy.
It's not the.
It's Ed Westwick.
Yeah, who's like a bad guy. We don't need to say that on every episode, but
yeah, people know we know.
People know.
Are there any good guys or good people on the show?
That's a good.
Oh
point.
No, well, I mean,
moral,
Ed Westbrook
moral
in
clarity
real life
is out. Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh yeah, he's like a multiple time accused rapist. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, didn't know that.
On that note,
damn.
Who is your Gossip Girl boyfriend? Like, who is your crush?
Oh, Nate, obviously.
Okay, that, I mean, the classic answer.
Yeah.
A lot of my notes from my viewing in preparation of this conversation were about how hot Nate Archibald is in looks, and it's a testament to Chase Crawford's acting, I guess.
I mean, yeah, he acts hunk really well.
Mm-hmm.
He, honestly, in
brooding.
The episode, oh yeah, he was a great brooding hunk, but I loved him running several times in this episode. That really worked for
of
me.
Of course,
you got the
physicality, Julia.
Mm-hmm. And
as a former cross-country runner myself, I was really pleased to see that this show, from the books
running
to the show, retconned him into a all-star cross-country runner instead of a lacrosse player.
I love it.
I love it too. I think all of our we are all representing the three main guys of Gossip Girl with our boyfriends, like, because I am the Dan, you're the Chuck, and Devin, you're the Nate.
Oh, okay, cool. You know, I really forgot about Dan in that. I was like, who could it be? Nate, Chuck, Eric even came to mind.
Wow. You thought
also,
Eric,
okay, wait, Eric is
Dan?
Cute.
I thought Eric before I thought Dan.
Eric, his highlights.
And I guess we'll have to unpack that. But
I guess we
that,
will.
That was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise, Drew.
I do want to shout out, I agree that Eric is cute, and the gay guy haircut that they put him in is so perfect for 2007 that like he looks like he walked off the next bus. It's unbelievable.
That is it. He's very the highlights are so bad. I can't get past them. I'm sorry.
I think we're having a moment with highlights again. I think
I think it's looking a little fresh.
But his are chunky. I don't know. He has chunky.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it yeah, looks, he has the Kelly Clarkson highlights, but like they look so good.
But to also say though, like, where would he have gotten that hair? Because thinking about the Vanderwoodsons, what salon is he going that's gonna give him that hair in that like tax bracket? Unless this is just something he did on his own, but I imagine that Lily would have had eyes on that.
Yeah.
Maybe while Lily and Serena are in the chair, he's like in the background, like sneaking a perm. He's like vicious, like furiously flat ironing and like hand dyeing. So, like,
I would also like to see Lily's reaction just to that genre of highlights.
Yeah. I mean, it clearly was something people did at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, hence, I don't think his hair ever changes, also.
It gets less intense.
Does it? Okay.
I think.
Yeah. I think a lot of things about the show's look mellow out and get way better over time. Because I mean, we'll get into the looks of this episode later, but I found a lot of the costuming very budget, let's say, compared to the pilot and compared to where things go later on. They were definitely scrambling a little bit for things to wear this week.
Interesting.
There were some looks, but there weren't as many looks that I had to pause and write down, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Devin, which Gossip Girl are you? And that could be anyone in the cast. Like, who do you identify with spiritually, emotionally?
You know, I don't know if there is someone I identify with spiritually, emotionally, or I mean, maybe Jenny will say just having been like a fashion obsessed teenager.
Yeah. And like
and wanting to go to fashion school or having gone to fashion school. But yeah.
That is a great answer. I love Devin as little Jay.
That's maybe just the what's coming to mind. Otherwise, I'll say let's embrace the inner slut with Serena.
Yes.
Yay. A Jenny Serena cusp, that is a potent combination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if that's that's definitely not an accurate read of my personality, but
I could see it.
I also think when I was first watching the show, I remember being really obsessed with Blair, but that's also, you know, kind of fair, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Blair is so aspirational in so many ways. Like,
right.
She has the look together. She is so funny and cutting. There is something very Blair. like, of course, like every girl and gay wants to be Blair, but very few can actually reach
Blairdom,
the Waldorf Heights. Yeah.
Yeah. I love Blair. She's such a perfect bitch.
That's true. That's a good way to put it.
I want to hear your take on the show's fashion. Maybe we should get into it as we talk about the episode, but maybe like a high level view.
At a high level, I think it's really important and extremely accurate of an era. You know, I think even if you look at like Teen Vogue from that time, it probably looks really similar to what was going on Gossip Girl. I also think you look at it and it's so specific to that moment that it doesn't age well, but it feels really accurate and still referential. Like even now, I think it looks dated or looks of a different moment, but I think that also makes it feel really interesting right now. Like thinking of like the indie sleaze of it all. Gossip Girl's obviously of that time, and the fashion relates to that and is also sort of just dressed up and polished in that way where it feels like it's kind of bridging the gap between indie sleaze and high fashion and like as like a pop culture product.
Wow, that was beautiful. I mean, it's funny you say it feels outdated because I wrote in my notes, like I was struck by how it dated but also current it looked.
Right.
Because of like the indie sleaze moment or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
and by outdated, it doesn't mean, I don't mean that in a negative way, of course.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Definitely.
I think also the circling back to like prep fashion that we're seeing too, especially in a lot of like menswear, looks current enough to, I like, it's definitely dated in its way, but at least the guys' outfits this week, I was like, Oh, I could wear this right now, and I think people would not say too much, except for Eric, who looked like he walked off the next bus. But like everyone else was like, I think that style is just like you see it a lot in kind of the like Emily on Doors and like the like even J. Crew's kind of looking like that again too for the first time in a while. So.
I mean, like, men's fashion obviously remains more consistent than women's fashion, but the one like prep symbol that has not carried over is the popped collar, which I have seen a lot in this show.
I actually think that's the moment right now.
Really? Okay, just
Absolutely.
now. Like in, but how like prevalent a moment? Like Lower East
Like,
Side specific, or are we seeing? Okay,
no, I'm
great.
thinking
That's
of
kind of.
like it feels sort of in the same breath as Indie Sleaze, where the pop collar feels not edgy, but almost disruptive in a way of it being just really different. And it feels sort of like that I could see coming back.
Totally.
Not in the same way, but in a like, a moment of irony, a moment of nostalgia for this time.
It's definitely feels ironic, and I mean, the moment you countered an image of an Essence model like popped into my mind. Like I can see it clearly now. Now that you make this point, I'm on board. I mean, I'm not on board, but I see.
I
I
like
get
your choice of the word disruptive because it definitely, if I wore a popped collar somewhere,
it. You would
it would
disrupt.
disrupt a lot of things for
Right,
sure.
right, right. It's
Questions like
almost subversive
Aaron.
in how just completely left field it is right now, and how obviously like it kind of stems from the moment of Abercrombie and Fitch in that heyday, and I'm just thinking of that styling was parodied on SNL or Mad TV, where it becomes a caricature. So I kind of see how that, could come back.
Yeah, there's
So
the character
bringing up that.
caricature idea is so good. Like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, and like people who listen definitely know about this book. But Natasha Stagg has a really good essay about the Abercrombie moment in Sleeveless, where she talks about like kind of like the sexual self-parody that it got to. That I think really, it really academically articulates a lot of what we're talking about, but it's also just fun to read. So everyone go, check that out. She definitely name checks Gossip Girl in that too.
Love that book.
That's
Wow.
perfect.
Gossip Girl's in the air. Should
Is.
we get into the episode?
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to recap or do I want to recap last week?
I'll recap last week. You can do our overview of this week.
Okay, sounds good.
So last week, Serena and Dan explored their budding connection while Blair and Nate's continued to die on the vine. Jenny broke into Blair's apartment to return her calligraphy pens and join the queen bee's hive, while Chuck sulked over his multiple failed rape attempts in a mint cardigan. Oh my God, I love this. I'm sorry. Drew wrote them this week, so I'm just reading them for the first time, overjoyed by his wording. All and remembering the name of this party. Okay, all this teen tension came to a head at Barth Bass's annual morning exclamation point in Paris party, at which there was no three-way, only D-Day. The episode ended with Serena dramatically tossing her LG chocolate into a sidewalk trash can in a symbolic yet extremely literal act of social defiance. Oh my God.
Wow.
Symbolic yet extremely literal indeed.
That is kind of like Serena's whole deal. Like,
I
she,
mean,
that is not a woman who moves in silence at all.
no.
The LG chocolate in the trash can is really a mic drop moment.
Yeah.
It is. It is. We're We're trying to do a new segment called Cell Phone Watch. So if you have any cell phones you want to call out throughout the episode,
Oh, cool.
so many. It was really another accessory at the time. So
Oh,
many different
yeah.
kinds of cell phones. Okay,
Oh, yeah.
Drew, give us the spotted.
All right. Spotted. It's Ivy Week at Constance Billard, and all the hotties are putting their best foot forward to get into their dream schools. Blair, Chuck, and Serena all leverage their legacy connections into prime usher spots at the Ivy League mixer, while poor ass Dan can't turn his status as indie rock royalty into networking success. Blair calls Serena an addict in front of all the college admissions counselors when it was in fact gay Eric's gay suicide attempt that is the big Vanderwoodson family secret. After that, Blair and Serena made up in the rain for now. Okay.
Amazing.
Amazing. So we're getting into the report card. I forgot to write down Gossip Girl herself on here. I would give Gossip Girl just briefly, I would give Gossip Girl a B this week. I did not think it was her best week for zingers.
I agree. There was one line I really loved that I will shout out later. But yeah, she was kind of on her B game. I might agree with the B.
Okay. I
Do you
think.
have a rating before we jump in for our girl of
Oh.
Gotham?
I'll go with B, also because I didn't think about her as a character to rate,
That
which
just that
is
says it
my
all.
own slight.
No, I mean, yes.
Also because I actually, you know what? I'm gonna give a lower rating. I'm gonna say C because I didn't feel her presence in this episode.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I
There
mean,
was no, you know, it was almost like Chuck and Blair were being Gossip Girl, like, you
yeah.
know, taking that
They were taking the reins.
role, right? There wasn't really the sense of surveillance and yeah, narrative or, you know, news from her.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I
Our
will
girl
say
fought.
in general, these first few episodes, there's not a sense of surveillance. Like, Gossip Girl's not a plot device to the extent that, like, she becomes both later in the season and later in the show. Like, she's kind of just the narrator right now. She's not really, like, in the mix blowing people's
They're
spot up.
learning. They're learning what her role should be.
Yeah.
And if you zoom to the big Gossip Girl reveal, I feel like I can see why. But we're
We're
not gonna.
not going to spoil that here.
Yeah. I mean, everyone must know, but some people don't, so I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah.
Unless we already have spoiled it, which is possible.
I don't think we have yet.
Okay,
I feel
well,
like it's an inevitability. Maybe we'll just bleep it every time someone does it because there's no way it won't accidentally happen
that's
eventually.
good.
But.
Okay, I like that idea. Before we get into our ratings, we have to start by acknowledging the a cappella opening, Glamorous by Fergie, by
I
the
mean,
Constance Billard Choir.
really a pivotal moment.
Oh my, I mean, inspired, like an inspired choice.
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I really do. Like, it's off key too. I mean, it was an actual live performance that they were doing. Like, it sounded like a real choir.
It was so good. I mean, I think they do, there's a repeat. We see the choir again in a Christmas episode. I think they're singing Santa Baby. All
Love
I'll
it.
say is that it's great. It's a great scene setting device.
I imagine it's extremely hard to top this one, Glamorous.
It is. It is.
And I also think it's obviously such a great soundtrack to the footage of, you know, our student body primping their uniforms, which I also think is a really memorable and definitive Gossip Girl moment that also I think speaks to the fashion of a lot of the time they are in uniform, but it's
Yep.
not your typical school uniform. It's not going to be what anyone else outside of this bubble is going to wear or can wear to school.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. I remember this opening sequence so vividly.
I
Like
mean,
it
the
is.
song alone is just so indelible. How could you forget it?
How could you
Yeah.
forget it?
Yeah.
I also wrote one of the in my notes in during the primping and the fluffing of it all. We even see it down to the hand moisturizer. Like, what kid and what teenager is moisturizing their hands as part of their routine to go to school? It's also I think such an important visual we get of Blair and the minions putting their headbands on.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, headband watch, another segment in the works.
Yeah, this was a beautiful week for
headbands. So much communicated in such a short period of time. This show, I mean, in some ways, the show is masterful. I'll say it.
I don't think even when the plot gets bad, the visual language of the show is always excellent. Mm-hmm. It's just the plot gets really bad at a certain point. And that will always be the cardinal sin of this show. It's just hard to do soap operas for more than a few seasons.
Yeah, definitely. Visual language, that's a good way to put it. Good way to describe the show. So many, I mean, this show has, or this episode has a few like super memorable scenes.
I was surprised watching it back that all of these things occurred in the same episode.
Happened in one episode. Me too. And then on the next few episodes, we have also have a bunch of iconic scenes.
There is not a filler episode in this entire season of television.
All filler, no
all
filler.
18 episodes are like really iconic. Like, you guys are listening to history right now. Like,
literally.
Yeah.
You know what I'm so excited for? Is the sleepover.
So excited.
Oh, okay. We're not gonna jump ahead though.
Okay. So should we start with Blair?
I think
the report
so.
Card?
I think so. Okay. I gave Blair a D because I almost gave her an F, but she was just such a heinous bitch to Serena. And she ruined her own Ivy party as well as Serena's. And then she, I don't know. I think she kind of redeems herself at the end, but I think she was just really causing a ruckus and only making more problems for herself.
I agree with that. I also gave her a D. I think if you're going to pull stunts, you need to make sure you land correctly. And she did not. She came off foolish the whole episode. Her outfit at the Ivy League party too, I found offensive. So for that reason, it's a D.
That, you know, I gotta chime in with the outfit that was on. That was a high for me. In
me
the episode.
Too.
Really? I thought she looked like Nancy Reagan.
She did.
Exactly.
She is. She's okay, giving Nancy Reagan. She's you know, not giving throat goat.
But not at all.
Not with the buttoned up shirt and the brooch fastening.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was kind of just thinking about the rating for the characters, let's say, just on how much they're contributing to the episode and good television. And I kind of am thinking about it on a scale of cuntiness. Mm-hmm. So as well. As such, I gave Blair a B.
Okay. Honestly, Drew, we might need to rethink our rating system because that might be more effective.
You know, she obviously, like you said, didn't hit it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But she, it's a really good episode for her. You see highs and you see lows.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some temporary growth. But yeah, I don't know.
I can see the value in maybe reconstructing our rating system a little bit. Most of my grades have been on vibes thus far. Vibes rather than cunt, when I think maybe the dichotomy should be flipped.
I agree. I mean, because all of them have bad vibes.
Yeah, no one has a good vibe.
So that's maybe not going to help us. Wow, Devin, you've made us rethink our whole show.
Yeah, we're
in real time.
Tomato, tomato.
Hey, tomato, tomato. That's
That's what I'm
sometimes
always
that's all you
saying.
can say.
That's right. That's right. That's why
One
they
thing I
pay me the
found,
big bucks.
I really found funny this episode. They clocked all of the dream schools for these kids so well. Like Blair is such a like little Yale freak. I'm sorry, she is.
She is. I love her at the beginning telling Dorota all about how she's always wanted to go to Yale. Like, that's a good, I like that we're seeing her relationship with her real mom, aka Dorota, like the woman who raised her for real. And also, just there's so much said in this opening scene where she's just like talking to Dorota, and then Dorota says, "You should eat a breakfast. Your mom would want you to eat a breakfast." And she eats one grape, like a little look into her eating disorder, which we will hear more about in later episodes.
True. I also liked the how the cam you know the camera just followed Blair, you know, talking about Yale. So you imagine she's speaking to her mom, right? And then it just pans to Dorota at the end, and I think that's a really smart visual choice. But yeah, the breakfast, what a breakfast. A pile of grapes, a cough, what appears to be like coffee, a muffin, a gigantic yogurt parfait with what appears to be more grapes, on a silver platter.
All the grapes she would want.
But the sort of presentation of it with being on a silver platter reminded me also of kind of taking some visual cues of the sweets from Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette and kind of a testament to the candy-coated girliness of Blair. Yeah, I love
Love
that
her.
kind of
Love
scene for
that.
her.
We in I think it was the last episode, there's a scene where her minions are like, oh no, she invites Jenny to help her get dressed. And I made the Marie Antoinette connection. Like she's so Marie Antoinette with her furs and
I
her
think
corset.
Marie Antoinette
True.
and Gossip Girl season one are such a nice pairing, I think,
Onion pieces.
because they do have very similar sensibilities, like very similar visual language, even though the Gossip Girl season one does look like it was shot for like $5, but the like
Yes
they
and
approach it
no.
like I thought this episode was, except for one scene that we'll get to later, like was a little budget, but the approach like soundtrack and like fashion as like character building. I think it's very like Sofia Coppola saw this and was like, I made my movie already, but I could have taken some notes had this come out in 2005 instead of 2007. So
She did say that. She said that. I heard it.
my favorite scene of the episode was the field hockey.
Yeah, of course.
And Blair, as you pointed out, Drew, in a beloved tweet, I think she's wearing a Marnie belt on the field hockey field.
So when I did a rewatch 2 years ago, I had to source this belt. And it is a Marnie belt. It's a vintage Marnie belt that I don't remember the year. It was vintage before the episode came out, but like for her to be wearing that belt with a very sharp hook clasp midsection playing a sport, like the girls had to take out their earrings when we ran track. There's no way she would have been allowed to wear a belt like that without getting like impaled on the field hockey field.
Especially with all the girl fighting going on.
There's so much girl fighting.
I mean,
The
Serena and Blair are just like checking each other. Like checking each other. Serena is like 7 feet tall. Blair's like tiny 5 foot ass frame is trembling. Except no, I feel like they're evenly matched, I will say. But Blair, of course, decides that she wants to cry out in pain after a few checks back and forth. Obviously, she's like smirking while she does it. And Serena says she hopes her leg's broken, which is a great moment.
I think also a good argument for, you know, brains versus brawn. You have Serena really decks her at the end, but and Blair is able to think of, you know, a moment for victory, kind of think of a strategy. What I love, I think, also about their outfits and the like crazy accessories that are, you know, with all their gym uniforms, even, it reminds me of this scene in Clueless where they're all lined up for PE and they have crazy, really impractical accessories. You know, I think that I would assume is a nod to that over the topness of, you know, Beverly Hills versus a New York City and fashion playing a role.
Okay.
It's just a perfect campy choice. Oh yeah. It's so campy. It's so perfect. Like, I keep telling myself I'm going to remember the guy's name who did all the costume design and styling for the show. And I know it's Eric something, but I still can't remember his last name. And for next episode, I will learn it. But he did a great job this episode with like accessorizing, like, especially with all these uniforms, like everyone has such a different style. And it's so funny that Blair, of all people, is the one who like cues closest to what I would imagine the actual Constance Billard outfit is. Like, she doesn't do that much to hers beyond button it up like armor and put on that headband. Like, she's ready for war this episode.
She is. I mean, because she is, like, she's Yale. She's a uniform girl.
She's a uniform girl
with her own flair.
So the main, like,
I would oh, go ahead.
No, go on, Devin.
No, I actually think this is the wrong time for this, but we can come back to this, but the needle drop of Got It From My Mama by Will I Am.
Not the wrong time at all. I mean, that moment, and it is cinema history.
It is cinema history.
It's such a moment.
It is.
And I remember after watching this episode of downloading that song on the family computer to get onto my iPod.
Yeah,
I did that a lot with the music. And recently, you know, many years later, I was in the car with my dad and he had his, you know, music on, and I must have downloaded that to like whatever their, you know, Apple ID was. And this song comes on and my dad's like, "What is this? Why is this on my
God.
Phone?"
That is,
and then that reminded me of how major the song is and how major the scene is.
That is major. I mean, that is major that your dad has that on his iPod to this day. iPhone, I guess.
I don't know. It's somewhere in there.
That's beautiful allyship.
That's right.
So the main kind of conflict of this episode, Blair decides to dig into why Serena returned home from boarding school, and she presses Chuck into service. I did like her making her minions like put ice packs on her legs, both legs. That was inspiring.
I didn't catch the both legs. That's crazy.
Oh yeah, no, they had a one was on one side and the other was on the other side. Like,
oh
yeah.
Wow.
It was perfect. So funny. Yeah.
I love it.
They both are equal weight.
Exactly. And this is where she hatches the plan for Chuck to stalk Serena, which, like, these high schoolers are operating on criminal levels. Like, I love that Chuck is just in his limo trailing Serena as she goes to the Ostrov Center.
She has no fucking clue that this limo's following her.
Yeah, I mean,
the headphones are in. I will say the headphones are in.
Oh yeah, no, she's definitely a girl. Like, she's not concerned with her environment when those headphones are in. Like, she's mysterious on the street. Like, ooh, like me. Like, she's not paying attention to anything. But like, Chuck's head was out the window of that limo like a dog.
Yeah, true.
Out the window. I mean, yeah, I thought that was a funny choice. I laughed out loud upon seeing that. But of course, she is headed into the Ostrov Center for family therapy, which we'll get into later. And Blair has the photos to prove it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this Ivy party, Blair does the most insane thing a person can do.
So insane.
How insane is this woman? She chooses to get up on the stage with all of these Ivy school reps around, you know, at this mixer. And apparently the schools honor one like charitable or some organization every year that does a good deed for the community. And this year she decided, not sure how she got to make this choice, but I digress, that they were going to honor the Ostroff Center where Eric is hospitalized. And of course, Blair doesn't know that it's Eric who's in the Ostroff Center. So she says that Serena is like a drug addict and is now sober thanks to the Ostroff Center. Just, I mean, she invites Serena on stage as well. And Serena, of course, stands up for her brother and gives this bullshit speech about forgiveness.
Yeah. The moment of the episode for me, though, was when she is absolutely gagged to hell and back by Eric revealing that his scar that looks like a cigarette burn.
I'm gonna say this right now.
It's just like crazy.
It is a little funny because the way that the makeup department decided to draw on Eric's cutting scar was
he's cutting himself with like a grapefruit spoon. Like that was the
I mean it looked
a silver spoon.
A silver, ooh. Okay, Gossip Girl. I mean, it looked like a makeup stand. It didn't look like anything.
He was like doing like lip kit, like swatches.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. See what I did? I mean, I did have to say, I mean, obviously I knew what it was, but I did have to think, wait, what? Like he revealed his wrist and I was confused.
I kind of was thinking he was just going to outwardly say it. Which would have had, I think, I don't know, I guess the physicality is a bit more visceral to Blair.
It's so visceral.
Versus just saying it. But I also love that she's like, you know, listen, Eric, you've always been a nice kid and all. And it's so nice of you to stick up for your sister. Like, she's really trying to, like, you know, just, you know, toss him to the side here in this moment. Yeah. And then is immediately frozen.
Exactly. I think he had to show the
he had to outstunt the stunt queen herself. And I mean, that is the showmanship of a true faggot. We do have to applaud Eric for his boldness this week.
It's true.
He says, how about this? I love how Blair also, like I said up top, she is just sabotaging herself. She keeps excusing herself from her conversations with the Yale rep for like increasingly psychotic conversations about her different plots. Oh, God. Well, I mean, I don't know. It's such a funny thing for this show to say happened. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, specifically stupid scam. It's awesome.
100%. So the episode ends with Blair making up with Serena in the rain. I didn't know where they were.
Bethesda Fountain in Central Park.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a beautiful place for Serena to read every time she's depressed or whatever they say happens.
Also, which of really course she I mean, idyllic to have no one else there.
Yeah, I guess because it's raining, but like, okay, I don't know. I think she's also joined by like some homeless people in that situation.
Probably. Fair. Yeah.
If we're doing a realistic.
But with the two girls, not an umbrella in sight.
No, just a
floppy hat.
Yeah.
Heels.
Heels, of course. I mean,
and I think it's funny with that location because there's nowhere for a car to take you there.
Devin? Yeah, Blair had to walk in the rain to get to where she is for sure and was bone dry.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, maybe someone carried her.
Maybe.
You never know.
She wasn't like the Lady Gaga egg all the way from the Central Park
West over to the fountain. Exactly. Dorota set it up. But... Yeah. I mean, the shoes felt like important, you know, I think a component to the scene. I think there's also Serena has wedge heels on. So just sort of a personality side by side of Blair with the platform pumps, Serena, the heeled wedge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They couldn't have had them both in rain boots. That wouldn't have provided the...
Not even one.
No.
Not even, no. No? It's not practical.
It's simply not practical. That is such a funny... why in the rain? I don't know.
Drama. Emotion.
Oh, yeah.
Tears. And
I
guess,
I wonder if anyone in the... I don't know. I wonder if anyone in post said, we kind of have a bit of a plot hole. How did these girls trek all the way in those shoes? And then someone just said, you know what?
We're going to distract them.
You're like, fuck it.
Yeah,
they got there somehow.
Exactly.
Blair has a gay dad. Pay attention to
yeah,
that.
True. She'll, yeah, true. She'll figure it out. When there's a will, there's a way.
Literally. Just, I mean.
She called her dad.
I was obsessed with the like tinge of homophobia in her voice when she said a 31-year-old male model.
Uh-huh. Incredible. I mean, yeah, she's so Blair reads the letter she never sent to Serena in the rain as she, her lip quivers and she, you know, tears well in her eyes. And yeah, she in there, as Drew said, she reveals that her dad is gay. Like, that's the, I mean, it the whole thing is just like, I'm miserable without you. Why did you leave? My dad is gay.
Yeah.
But also so iconic of just sending your like estranged bestie at boarding school, writing them a note to say, my dad's gay.
It is. I mean, she should have sent it.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Always send the letter. That's my rule. Always send the letter.
Wow. That's a strong rule. Always.
I like that there were cinematic parallels between this scene and the scene in which Hannah Horvath explains to the principal at the school that she works at, that her dad's gay and that she's going through a hard time because of it.
Yeah. I mean, of course I thought of your dad is gay from Girls.
Yeah.
But I don't know. These two are really good at playing estranged BFFs, I think.
Oh, 100%. Should we get into Serena?
Yeah, let's do it.
I gave her a D this week as well, because I don't think she served nothing to me. And I'm a Serena apologist in so many ways, but like, this was not a good week for her. I thought her defense of her brother on stage was not articulate, to say the least. Her outfits all episode were beyond the pale. And like, she started off dressed like Courtney Love and she ended dressed like Colby Calais, and I found that to be not to my liking. So that was the D for me. What's it?
I think I'm gonna give her a C because she gave nothing most of the time. But when she gave something, she said things like, I hope your leg is broken, which I liked. And I don't know, she stood up for her brother. That's pretty cool. This is using our original system. I think I do want to switch to the rating based on cunt system. But she stood up for her brother. Yeah. She risked her future. Pretty cool. She made up with Dan. But I don't know, I have mixed feelings about that, I guess, because... I don't know. So I guess a solid C, sure. Why not?
I'll say a C. I do think that she really brought a lot to the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. Whenever I'm running late, you know, I sometimes imagine myself, Serena, rushing to school, throwing on a sweater cardigan vest, a tie, you know, attached to nowhere, slouchy over the knee boots. Jumping into a yellow cab and sprinting in to be late, to miss the assembly. But then, you know, I thought, why did she need to even rush there? What was the purpose of the assembly? Other than the lovely a cappella number.
I thought that too. And she was so devastated when she missed.
She does have a bit of a lower rating for me, also because she didn't get to experience that song.
Okay, that's true.
Talk about character building.
Yeah, I mean,
she missed a very, you know, what could have been an important moment.
And what was to so many.
Yeah,
she does have a good line reading later on to Blair when Blair shows up at the fountain. She goes, "Are you here for another catfight?"
Drama.
Are you here for another catfight?
Really hilarious of like, I feel like catfight would only be used in people who were not part of the catfight.
Yes, that is a good point.
But I like her sense of humor in that moment.
I think that is that's a good read on Serena. She just bothers me. Like, her being late to this assembly made me so just annoyed with her. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, of course you're late. You're always late, bitch. You think the world revolves.
Not relatable?
No, not relatable.
Late to school?
No, because, girl, like, you get to school on time. This is your, I don't know. She just, it's a very privileged late, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
And
I do have to chime in.
Say.
With a reminder that she's late, but we know why she's late. She stayed the night at the Ostrov Center with Eric, so he wasn't alone.
She quipped
to Lily that she doesn't have a maternal bone in her body.
Yeah, okay, that was pretty cool.
It was nice of her, but like, why is Eric in jail?
Well, I kept saying
as Lily says, it's not jail, it's recovery.
He is in cultural prison. They are holding him hostage. It's crazy. It is crazy. I can't get over the fact that they're keeping him in this room for something that's clearly, I don't want to say not an issue anymore, but like resolved.
I mean, that scar is not resolving.
Also, I think props to Serena for, you know, advocating for Eric and getting him out of the center, you know, for that really fun party.
That really fun party that he needed to be at.
Perfect event for him to come out.
Okay, I also want to point out her frantically applying a Lancôme Juicy Lip Tube as she's getting ready for school. I clocked that and I thought, wow, sign of the times, so perfect. Like, these girls on this show were just everything you wanted to be as a middle schooler.
Oh, yeah.
I also, this is more of a Blair win, but Blair telling Serena that Brown doesn't offer degrees in slut.
That's my line reading of the week.
That was also my line reading of the week.
Okay, you're both going to have to read it.
We will.
I'm going to need to hear. It's going to be a read-off. And whoever embodies Blair the best will win, but we'll get to that. Serena is going to family therapy at the Ostrov Center. And just as we were saying, begging Lily to let him come home for a weekend, he's literally just held captive.
And Lily is like being so rude and mean about like college and all these other, like, Lily is just extra waspy this week. Mm-hmm. But my other line of the week was Blake Lively, it must be said, was like extra barred out this week in terms of performance. Like, she did not waver the monotone one single time. But all I want to do is finish high school in peace and go to another state where nobody knows who I am. And then that state being Rhode Island is so
iconic.
Well, you know, the smallest state.
The smallest state. If Connecticut's Mongolia, like, Rhode Island is the Arctic Circle to these people.
That's beautiful. That was a pretty good Blair. She's very mumbly and low.
A pretty good Serena.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Serena's low. A low murmur of a person.
She is a low murmur. And the speech that she gives on stage at the Ivy Mixer is a low murmur whole time.
Props to her for making anything up.
True. She did. I was thinking, what would I do in that situation? As if that would ever happen to me. But I don't know what I would do. I think I would just feel compelled to be like, she's a liar. Like, I would not
Yeah.
maintain my cool and say people need to forgive in sobriety or whatever the fuck she says.
Yeah, she
I
doesn't
kind of
really
like
say
that for
much.
her.
I mean, it's definitely like ballsy, and it's a cool move for her to do that because she doesn't care because nothing matters because her life is set up for her.
Yeah, I mean, the only one who anything matters for here in this party is Dan. Everyone else is really low stakes.
Yeah.
It's, obviously a game to them.
Yeah. And Serena and Dan, like, Serena does kind of win because she gets Dan back on her side with her act of like radical love. And the like, we see so much more of these two. So I can't be like, oh, these two this early on, but like, oh, these two. It's just.
I was just like, okay. I mean,
Yeah.
when she asks him to ask her out again, okay. I don't like it. I don't like these two. They're both annoying separately, and then when you put them together, I just no thanks.
I really liked them this episode. I gotta say, I
Go
gotta say, there's also a good moment between Dan and Serena, where, let me see. Oh yeah, he says to Serena when she's like, "I'm getting this for the Yale rep," and Dan's like, "You don't want to go to Yale, doesn't Blair?" She goes, "Well, I'm, fighting with Blair tonight or something." And he goes, "Yeah, why not make the entire evening over screwing Blair?"
Yep.
Also, a really good line from Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote that down too because it is, I mean, he's right. Nothing, none of this really matters to her. Her parents went to Harvard and Brown.
Yeah, he did kind of, gag her in that moment too, in the courtyard. But I thought the rest of their interactions were quite sweet. I was really happy for them to make up in the end. I liked how he was chasing after her, which, we obviously see a lot of, her running away.
They love to chase and run away.
I think I should have probably given her a higher rating, than I did.
I do think that the hat is disqualifying from a
Understand.
higher
Yep.
grade. I
That's
she was like old Fisherman Vanderwoodson. It was
sure.
so she looked like the guy on the fish sticks box. Like, it was so floppy.
It was too floppy. It was the floppiest hat known to man. I can't forgive her for the floppy,
She
but actually no.
was depressed.
She was depressed. That's a depression hat.
It is a depression
Yeah.
hat. But like, the style of the hat was so, I mean, if it the hat had "Life is Good" on it, I wouldn't have blinked twice. Like, it
Yeah.
was
No,
so
it was like,
fisherman.
I think it was aubergine, which I think is just a dated
Oh.
color. And also, and I could be wrong, but that makes it worse to me.
Yes, I agree with that. That was the main reason we talked about last episode, that the dress that Blair like foists upon Jenny is so ugly, is
Which she
because that
wears
like
now.
blue is so dated.
Okay, I have mixed feelings about that blue. I think that blue works in certain settings and
Okay.
materials, but we'll
Wait,
get to that.
can I say something controversial?
Yes.
So Anne Hathaway wore a Versace dress to the SAG Awards this past weekend in that exact color. And I didn't like it at all, mostly because of the color.
I kind of think she was so because there was like their Devil Wears Prada reunion on stage
Oh,
between Emily
Cerulean.
Merrill and Anne. I kind of think it was a nod to Cerulean, whether or not
Totally
it was
was.
an accurate match.
I don't think it was an accurate match. I didn't think it
Okay.
was cerulean.
I think
Well,
it
I'm
is cerulean.
colorblind. I'll
Oh.
leave that to you. I'll leave that to you.
I think it is cerulean or like a royal blue, but I also think this is a really ugly dress. But I like the color on her.
She looks good in basically anything. You know who always wears that blue, and maybe that's why I'm also thinking of it as an ugly color? Ramona Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's Hillary Clinton and Ramona Singer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh my god.
What a confusing chunky belt.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are we on to? Dan?
Dan. Okay. I thought Dan had a good episode.
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, as I'm rewatching this show, I'm struck by how annoying he is, but I gave him because he did have a good episode.
Yeah, I gave him a B. He was a nice guy this week. He didn't say anything like super annoying.
Okay.
I gave him a lower rating. I gave him a C minus, or I would even maybe say a D. And I say that just because his little monologue to the dean at school or whoever about trying to become like an usher for Dartmouth was horrible. It was so corny.
Oh, annoying. I mean,
he said, "I've been dreaming of Dartmouth, and I think, you know, Dartmouth's been dreaming of me."
Yep, I wrote that down.
He really thought he ate, and no wonder he didn't get the usher role.
Yeah, because you can't be that awkward and talk to, I mean, I guess you can because he ended up slaying, but he, like, is this whole episode, he's so annoying. From the moment they show his post-shave face with little pieces of blood tissue all over it, I'm like, oh god, I can't get in Dartmouth off Quirk alone. But he does love the school. He's a smart guy. He's like obsessed with the Dartmouth rep and like read his book, blah blah blah.
Kiss ass. But,
yeah, he's a total kiss ass. Of course, though, Nepo baby Nate, he gets the usher job despite not even wanting it.
Yeah.
I mean, Nate sitting in front of me, you know, he can have whatever position he likes.
Totally. Yeah, I think that's what they said.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily believe that Dan would be a Dartmouth guy. Dan seems like a Brown guy.
He does.
He's quirky ass. He's so Brooklyn.
He's so Brooklyn. He's so Brown.
He's so Brown. He also him opening doors like so dramatically, like both hands, like, oh, shove. Personality disorder.
Yeah, he's constantly slamming his body into doors and exhaling the biggest exhale you've ever heard. I'm sorry, I can't stand him. I mean, I used to really be charmed, and now I know better.
I did write down in my notes, Dan is a Nepo baby, start a band, loser, as my advice.
That's true.
Well, he is a Nepo baby. He's got the musician dad.
Yeah.
He just needs to switch passions.
It doesn't really, obviously, it's not the same category or tier or league of nepotism as, you know, his classmates.
No.
But in our, you know, you're looking at it from he would get that moniker of he's having also a famous musician dad versus, like, you know, an heiress or whatever, we'll say, like, Serena is, like, wouldn't get that connotation immediately, I think, in like if we were talking about her now.
Yeah,
he's also like into writing though, so write some lyrics, start a band.
Like, Jenny's a rock star.
Jenny's like, a rock star.
Start like a family band.
But Dan does end up winning over the Dartmouth guy at the Ivy function. So good for Dan.
Which he got into because Rufus like made a deal with the devil to play.
The devil being Lily Vanderwood.
The devil being Lily Vanderwood. So,
his ex.
Like, true shocker. And we'll get to Rufus, but like him sitting on that sad little stool while Dan pours soda pop.
Oh,
was,
God.
I mean, he got in and he wins.
Got in.
And he got the girl again.
Yeah, he got in. He got the girl. We only have a few more people to run through, and I think they're pretty quick. I mean,
yeah, because we are running long, but.
Yeah, Jenny for sure. I don't know. She's so funny and weird in this first season.
she really
like,
is.
She's like, I think I called Nate Flat Stanley last week because of his one-dimensional character. Jenny is Flat Stanley. I gave
Jenny
her
is very flat Stanley. I also
she's,
gave her a B
she's
though.
giving green. She's giving green. She's giving young.
Yeah. She's a little
She's
J.
listening.
She's a little J. She's listening and learning.
She was on her laptop a lot this week. And that's mostly why I gave her a B. Because I was like, it's so funny that she's on her laptop in every scene.
Because she's learning about tech.
Yeah. I would give her a lower rating because she had some really bad accent work at the beginning.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, I wrote that.
Which
down.
I'm not gonna redo it. I don't know what kind of accent it was. It was questionable.
I don't even know if it was okay. I'm gonna say it because I don't even know if it was an accent. I thought she does this in. I've clocked this in previous episodes.
Yes, you did.
It's yep. not like she's not imitating an accent. I think she's just speaking in a strange manner.
Yeah,
she said, "I'm your sister. It's what I do."
Yeah, I hated it.
It's so awful, and I just
no. It's more like.
Like I want to give for a really low rating.
I couldn't. Oh, I don't know. And I'm going to say I think this was an acting choice. In that the previous ones were also acting choices because yeah. they're just like strange line reads.
I don't know. I can see her being written as like having to be sort of dorky, like the little sister.
Sure. Yeah.
But. Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's what I do is so funny though. I hope that she keeps making these choices all season.
I think we've got a few more.
Hopefully. Oh my God. So she wears Boyer's dress to the Ivy party.
Yeah, where she and Eric like sit on the ground and talk about, you know, his Drew writes his gay suicide attempt. I couldn't say that without crediting you, Drew.
I'm sorry. I like maybe that's glib, but like the way that I mean, this show treats a suicide attempt is like with no seriousness whatsoever. So like I feel like it's perfect. Okay not to.
It's warranted. I mean, yeah, she visits Eric in jail near the end of the episodes and gives him his gift and blah blah blah. We can move
sweet.
On.
That
I
was
do
sweet.
Like the
that
girl
was
and
really
gay.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I like them together, but those are the only scenes I really like Jenny in. We're with Eric, so I have to
kind of
think about that.
We have some good Jenny episodes in this season.
Oh, yeah. Like, she gets towards the latter half of the season. Like, they really figure out what to do with her beyond just making her a, like, 14-year-old, like, wannabe.
Yeah, and beyond just making her, like, a character for someone else to talk to and reveal things about that other character.
Yeah.
So
Nate,
I gave a C+, because he's learning that he can stand up for himself, but he's also annoying. Everyone's annoying.
Yeah, I gave him a C for similar reasons. I'll say this, and this is going to be the case every week. His dad is really dragging him down too. Like this dad is a flop. Like always in running shorts, always being like, son, what are you doing? Like the energy is not good with the dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give a C as well. It was kind of, you know, lukewarm. He didn't really give us much with the episode other than his looks. I also thought it was interesting of like, or seeing parallels of this mid-aughts trope of a hot, brooding heartthrob, not having agency over his decisions, trying to make us feel some empathy for the character despite them being way too good looking.
Yeah.
Thinking about like Chad Michael Murray in a Cinderella story. His dad had his life planned for him, and he was so hot. And you're like, wow, I guess I understand you're being sad.
It's hilarious that all of his acts of rebellion this episode are immediately undone by the institutional powers that be. Tries to tank the interview for being an usher, still gets it, flops at the mixer, and is like so off-putting to the guy. Still has a one-on-one convo with him the next day, like running through Central Park. These people are always running in the Archibald family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cross country of it all. I also thought it was really funny. You of Nate talking to the Dartmouth rep about his book, and immediately, like, you see the panic in his face when the word epilogue is brought up
Oh, that
because he
is
has no fucking clue what that means.
like, what are you? Yeah, that's a good call
And then
out.
also Nate not knowing who the Lorax is, and also just him having to read the line Lorax back, kind of amazing.
It is
Pretty great.
amazing.
I will say that is a testament to Chase Crawford's quiet acting, his subtle
Let's call it quiet acting is a good way
He's
to
doing a
put
lot
it.
with his
Nice way to
steely
put it.
eyes.
Oh, he was really hot in this episode.
He has beautiful eyes and eyebrows.
We also got a bit of a shirtless moment with him, so maybe that helps with some points.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give him a plus for
Yeah.
that. Okay.
Chuck was a D for
Chuck.
me.
Chuck was a D for me also.
Continues to serve friend of energy.
Yeah, like why is he? I mean, he's just doing Blair's bidding and yeah, oh right, he fucks the Princeton rep.
Gross. Okay.
That's okay.
That Princeton rep, I
She ought to be
was a
ashamed
very normal
of
looking woman, I would say. I at that point I was like, is Chuck a
pretty.
nymphomaniac? She was pretty and she was pretty, but I
Well,
was like,
the
Chuck?
party,
Really?
were there a lot of prospects at that party for him?
I he's
Yeah.
like, well, I guess I can't fuck
Slim
Blair. So
pickings.
here's this 37-year-old from
She was a
Princeton, New
brunette.
Jersey.
She was
Like,
pretty, and something is
pretty.
seriously wrong with her.
Yes, she wants to fuck high schoolers. That's really wrong.
That's why she's a rep. She's
Yeah,
got to win them
that's why she's
over.
a
Oh my
rep.
God,
Because
that's her
she's scouting.
motive.
Oh no, she's scouting for victims.
This show
Okay.
always gets a little SVU, doesn't it?
It
Like, we
does a
can't help
little.
ourselves.
Well,
Oh my God.
do we
One
have anything
thing
else about? Yes,
about
please.
Chuck that I would give him some points for is kind of getting Dan out of the assembly to smoke a joint. Kind of major. In a church,
Oh.
there were pews.
Wait, what does he do?
He has a joint and is like, Nate, let's get out of here.
That it. Oh, yes. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, church joint. Okay. That,
Church
yeah, I
joint. At
support.
school, I kind of,
That's
gotta give him some
badass.
points for, I mean, yeah. And I also liked when he said to Blair when they were kind of talking about a plan, he really quickly turns around, swivels, and says, you don't get enough credit for your wit.
Yes. That was a good. I fucked that
Really
too.
good chemistry.
Yeah,
He
they do
was
have good
so
chemistry.
pleased by her in that moment and so impressed.
I mean,
And that's where we saw him most of the episode was in this cloud of doing her surveillance, her
and
eyes in the sky.
he's right. Like, she doesn't get enough credit for her wit. She's got amazing one-liners. Except, I don't know if it's in this episode. I watched another episode after this one because they're bingeable. But Dan calls her like he has some long-winded insult describing her, where he says like she's just like a just 95 pounds of bone motts and something something. But she does have a lot of bone motts.
Yeah, and she is 95 pounds.
And she is 95 pounds.
Great.
I don't know. So Dan, I guess, recognizes her wit.
Yeah, she is one of our great minds.
Okay, so Lily,
Lily.
we don't even need to really.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I have one other thing for Chuck
Please.
that I
Okay,
just saw on my
please.
page. I loved when he said to Blair, "Don't get your laparellas in a bunch."
Yes, that was too.
He is such a
Really not about
gay
him, but
guy.
about, the right. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Or and just also like thinking or just knowing, I don't know, of it just like everyone wears lapelas is kind of like funny.
I mean, it's so perfect. It's so like Chuck's a little gay.
Yeah. Like I kind
Yeah.
of screamed in that moment. I wrote down, damn, lapelas.
Yeah, like amazing call out.
So yeah, we can breeze through Lily. I gave her a D And I just wrote down, she is so ashamed of her suicidal gay son. So
yeah, I gave her an
true.
F.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I gave her an F for that reason as well.
He's also out gay yet.
Right.
He's just
he's
just clocky as gay.
So did you just out Eric in the for this pod?
Why'd you do that? He's never gonna forgive you.
I mean,
forget how about it.
Oh, never forget how he's outed.
I'm sure
so
that would
iconic.
Be fun. Yeah, for you to talk
I
about.
Remember,
it's one of my favorite episodes.
I remember
it's
one,
really good.
One scene with the hard F used.
Exactly.
Is that how he's outed?
Yeah, but there's a lot of layers there.
Okay, got it. Got
they
it.
Only say it once, though, but that's kind of all. They got one F slur
they
used.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of amazing.
Incredible.
Okay, Rufus.
Also, it's not homophobic.
That's true. For those who didn't hear Devin's careless whisper, the guy who said it is also gay. So it's technically he could be saying it in like a kind
fair
of
play. Fair play.
Fun way.
It is fair play. It's gay on game crime is fair play. Look, Rufus is a clown. I'm just gonna preface what I'm about to say with that. I gave him a B+ this week because he looked juicy fruit to me. I was really into the look. There was against my better judgment, I saw that he was wearing a leather thong necklace, which is something that I have chastised him for doing before. But this week, for whatever reason, I was like, damn.
The necklace was really working. I noticed that too. It was a good necklace.
Oh, he so doesn't work for me. He also looked like positively 23.
Ageless beauty.
But in a bad way. He looked too young. I looked too baby face. Was not working for me.
I think your rating is good at a B+.
Yeah.
He was a really good dad this episode. He really went out there for Dan. He got him into this party. He made up two new jobs. I really can't imagine Lily, like, it's sweetening the deal for Lily for him to perform at this party.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's the last thing she would want.
Yeah. He got two members of Kings of Leon to come with him and like do like upright bass music. Like,
it was very much, I mean, it was, you could tell he was enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He was like, I've made a trek all the way up here from Dumbo to the Upper East Side. And I'm going to get something that will make me happy.
He also, I want
to which was a return ticket to the Upper East Side again, lugging a bass.
Lugging a damn bass.
Although I can't remember if he was playing a bass in this, but
I think he was on guitar, but someone was on an upright bass, I think. Mm-hmm. I want to point out that they're using a dartboard as a lazy Susan in the Humphrey household.
Just so like, I didn't notice that. That's unforgivable.
They're so quirky.
Like, oh,
they're
God.
So Brooklyn.
They're so Brooklyn. Oh my God, garage in the middle of the apartment. I can't deal with them.
I'm going to ask a question and you can receive it however you want.
Me or Devin or both?
Everyone. Everyone in the world who's listening to this can receive it however they want. Does Rufus look like a yassified Zach Braff?
Ah, almost, but no, in my opinion.
Okay.
He looks yassified, but I don't know if it's... I don't know if I see the Zach.
Yeah.
The Zach feeling.
I'm going to agree with you.
I couldn't unsee the Zach Braff this week. And I don't find Zach Braff hot.
Maybe it was the necklace.
Maybe so. Maybe I just have like a brain chemistry.
Maybe you
issue.
Do have a crush on Zach Braff. Maybe that's what this is surfacing.
I would like to think that I don't have a crush on Zach Braff. I would like to think that. Maybe I do though. Like maybe that'll require some reevaluation. Good episode though. Great episode.
Yes, we should do our final segments.
Yeah. I think we can breeze. Needle drop of the week. We talked about, to my eyes, the only two candidates for this week, because there weren't a lot of actual licensed songs here beyond Glamorous and Got It From My Mama. But what a two to pick. Two perfect ones to pick.
Devin, did you have any others? That's like all I.
No, it really has to be. I got it from my mom.
Yeah. The budget grows on this show as it goes on. It seems the
100%.
music
But
budget.
also, Glamorous must have cost like.
Do you have to license it though?
Yes,
If
you
it's a
do
cover.
for a cover. So I used to work in music licensing for everyone listening. This probably would have cost $60,000 for publishing and $60,000 for master. So that's a lot of
They
money.
must have really wanted
Well, in
Glam.
current day, that's what it would have cost. I don't know about 2007, but
Julia, we
like.
do have a friend that we could get this information from.
Who? I mean, Gabe probably
Who
knows.
sings Glamorous?
Fergie? Do we know
You
Fergie?
guys know Fergie?
No, but one of our friends' dad was her manager for many years.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Actually, I'm Will I
Whoa.
Am, so I wonder if there was a.
We need to go into the books.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
If
Okay.
we
Oh
could get
my God.
Fergie on this podcast somehow, I think I would combust, like spontaneously combust.
Devin, I forgot about that detail. I was like, do we know Will I
We
Am?
don't know Fergie or Will I Am.
I'm glad to
Just
know
to
that.
clarify for all the listeners.
Well, you could think what
But
you want.
there's our degree of separation. And anyway, could cut that.
Okay, outfits of the week. I honestly, Devin, I'm with you. I really liked Blair's first lady fit, like her canary yellow button up, the navy skirt suit, her pearls. It was just like so funny. It was so
It was
like a little
funny.
girl dressing up as a woman. You know what I mean? But she worked it, but it was also like so just I'm trying
Yeah.
to be taken seriously.
She really meant business in that look.
She
She
did.
was just like, I gotta get buttoned up. And I'm ready here. I'm ready to impress. The color blocking of the look was really impressive and sophisticated. I love that she had the shirt fastened with a brooch. I like that it was a skirt suit.
Yeah,
And
I mean,
it was a very modest length,
Nobody's doing it
considering.
like Blair. Yeah.
But in every scene, that shirt, brooch, and jacket combo, and in every scene of this look is it's distracting how good that pairing is.
Totally. I was very pleased.
Y'all are talking me into it a little bit more. I see the vision. I see the vision. I've talked ad nauseum already about Serena's big dumb hat, so I will shout out the white polo shirts that they were wearing to play field hockey. I love a white polo shirt. I think it is something that everyone should own, regardless of gender identity or style. It is a perfect basic, and it always looks good. White polo shirt. So, best line read, I think, is the next one. What are
Okay,
we reading?
let's see. So I'm gonna have to go ahead and say Brown doesn't offer degrees in slut. Oh wait, no, that wasn't mine. I'm sorry, that was Devin's. Okay.
It was, I think, a
Okay.
few of ours.
Well, you read it, and then I have one. I wrote down a separate one, so
I have
we
a
will give
separate
that
one
to
as
you.
well.
Okay, so Devin, why don't you go first?
Well, for me, it's got to be Blair to Serena in the hallway. Right after Serena's already at her low, she was late for the assembly. She missed it. She had to throw on a vest. Her tie, not connected to anything. She's humbled in this moment. Blair says to Serena, Brown doesn't offer degrees in slut.
Awesome. I
Beautiful.
mean,
And I'm gonna regret that voice.
The everything you just said was poetry. I thought it was beautiful. My line read was a Gossip Girl did not have a lot of great lines this week, but this one really made me laugh. World War III broke out and it's wearing knee socks. Not
what?
completely nonsensical.
No, and wait, I didn't clock that one. And it's wearing knees. World, are you sure that's what it was?
That's exact. I rewound. That's exactly what it was.
That's puzzling.
It's very puzzling.
That did remind me of another line from Gossip Girl, despite at the beginning, I had no recollection of her involvement with this episode this week. She says, something to the effect of, because I was a teenage drug addict is not a winning college essay. And I'm like, that's not true. That seems like a real winner of an essay.
Okay, that was
college
mine.
Essay.
That was yours?
I mean, Shannon. Okay. It was, she says some, Gossip Girl says something long-winded and then ends it with, I was a teenage drug addict. Okay, wait, let me start that again. I was a teenage drug addict is not exactly a winning college essay. I don't think it's exactly a winning college essay. I'm gonna
it's
agree.
Not.
I fumbled the line read. I'm forgetting her tone now, but
Gossip Girl's tone is always kind of like,
Oh no, I celebrate it. I'm glad we all agree on these fantastic lines.
I think we can all agree also on Bully of the Week and Victim of the Week. Blair was outrageous this week as a bully.
She was 100% the bully.
And I think when you bring in gay suicide in a pre-Trevor Project, pre-It Gets Better environment, Eric just has to be the victim. Like, how are you going to out-victim that? It's 2007. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else.
And
I also think he really had to answer a lot of questions about Miami at that fucking party. He really had to live with his mom's narrative of shame of him living in Miami with Aunt Carol.
He really had to say go Marlins like three times.
And but he was able to tell Bart Bass about saving the manatees.
He was, and thank God for that. I don't have a cultural recommendation this week because I just don't.
Yeah, this was not a very cultureful week. My XOXO, which is the cultural thing that we do want to recommend this week that's not Gossip Girl related, tin sardines. I'm going to recommend tin sardines. I really like this brand of tin sardines from Matif. They are a Galician tin fish brand that I buy at my local wine and cheese shop. These sardines are really good and you can find them basically everywhere. So go get Matif tin sardines. That's my recommendation.
That is a good recommendation.
I have never said tin sardines more in like a 30-minute span or a 30-second span than like that. So that's the emphasis I'm putting on this. They're good. Very good.
Drew or Devin, do you have any?
You know, I didn't have one planned, but what I've been liking today, and I've been thinking about wanting to see it get more play right now, is Kim Gordon's new song Bye Bye.
Mm-hmm.
And the video is really good.
It's really, really good. And directed
it's basically
by
riffing a packing list.
I think the video is also directed by Coco Gordon, her daughter, who I believe is on Gossip Girl at some point in like a bit role.
Oh wow.
Am I crazy? We'll have to go to IMDb for that.
Yeah, I know she's in the video. I think Clara, the photographer Clara Baldari, might have directed it. Just because I looked.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if you looked, you know. Would have to.
No, but now I'm thinking I'm wrong. But yeah, it's Coco Gordon Moore's in the video. She's wearing like all at Calzada. It's a really good. It's a good video.
It's a great song too. I don't remember the name of the second single that she just dropped from the upcoming album, but that sounds really good too. Love Kim Gordon.
I need to listen to that.
Good stuff. Well, I think that's all, right, Julia?
Julia, you didn't have any recommendation at all.
Or I'm so scatterbrained, I cannot think right now. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. There was one other thing that I liked in the episode, just to share amongst us girls. The Blair's minions at the party were just talking about neuroscience, and I loved that.
I love
women
that.
In STEM.
Women. Well, one of the actors who plays one of the minions is a legit actual doctor at Johns Hopkins now.
That's great.
So maybe she was drawing on real knowledge.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Love that.
Incredible detail.
Well, this was a fantastic episode. Devin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
If you would like to be found on social media, where can people find you?
I think on most platforms it's just at Devin P. Barrett.
Lovely.
P is my middle initial, everyone.
P is also my middle initial. I wonder, we can
It's how we met.
debrief offline. Or like the P link up. Yeah, we can debrief off mic about that.
The P
You
link up.
we're cutting that. We're cutting that. I you can find me on Twitter at FKPigs. And you can find us on TikTok at Julia Gray. Okay. Is that right, Julia?
That's correct.
Wow. Shout out to your TikTok.
You know what? We're giving it our all.
Yeah. And if you're listening all the way through to the end of this podcast, go follow that TikTok right now.
You
We
know, I gotta
really.
make sure I do. I think I do. I think I do Julia Gray, but we'll make sure.
It's if you guys knew how debasing it was to make TikToks, you would pity
Oh
us
my
and
God.
follow. Please, we
All
need
right.
it. Like, we
Yeah,
want.
I'm on TikTok too.
Do you want to drop the TikTok?
It's the same handle.
Oh my God. Okay, see, that's brand
I try to
synergy.
keep consistency across the
Yeah.
board, you know.
I celebrate that.
But
But,
and we
you know, maybe there'll
celebrate
be a
you, the
weird one.
fans, as well. So,
We do.
all
Thank you
right.
so much, Devin, for taking the time. This
This
was
was
a
wonderful.
blast. I love
Thank you
talking to
all.
you.
I love talking about our girls.
You are
Eric.
such a joy and such a good perspective to have, and we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. This was
Is it
fun.
time to do the sign off?
Yes. All right. Oh,
All
wait,
right.
should we say it in unison? This
Yeah,
is new.
let's try it. Okay.
One,
X.
two.
Oh. Okay, let's try it
One,
again.
two, three. XO.
XOXO. Girls
Girls' room. Okay,
room.
we're gonna need to work on that.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.